over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Loughlin. At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
Three-step drop. Oh, he is buried. He is sacked. It is Mario Williams back at midfield.
You got to give me that leg, Will. You got to give me that leg, Will.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
Throws it downfield, intercepted, picked off by Jarris Bird. The ball hawk with the interception for the Bills.
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football, right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across western New York.
Tonight on the show, we're live at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, and Buffalo Bills head coach Doug Marrone joins us to talk about his approach to the Combine. We'll also talk with the Bills Director of College Scouting, Kelvin Fisher, as he gets set to run his first draft as Buffalo's top college scout. Plus your phone calls as we broadcast live from the Combine.
This place is pandemonium!
C.J. at the 10, 5, touchdown! C.J. Spiller, touchdown Buffalo!
This is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Tonight, live from the Combine from Indianapolis, good evening. Welcome, John Murphy here in the studios of WXNT Radio in Indianapolis, Indiana. On a rainy night in Indy, we are here to bring you coverage of really the first day, the first big media day of the NFL Scouting Combine. We got a lot going on tonight and a lot going on earlier today as well. You heard the rundown. We got head coach Doug Marrone coming up at 7:30 tonight. We did the interview earlier today over at Lucas Oil Stadium, and I told Coach Marrone at the end of the interview, I said, Coach, that's the best interview we've ever done together. And he said, no, it's not. I think it was. It's funny. He's an interesting guy, and you kind of learn which buttons to push. And you'll be interested to hear it, I think. 7:30 tonight, head coach Doug Marrone. Kelvin Fisher, you don't hear his name very often, but he is the Bills' chief college scout, their director of college scouting. He's been at work since he got the job after the draft. I think last May is when they brought him on. And while many of us look at the combine as maybe the start of the NFL draft year, Kelvin Fisher and his staff of area scouts have been working on this all year long. We'll talk with him about that process when he joins us tonight at 8:30. We want to hear from you tonight as well. Want to get your thoughts. We had a great opportunity today to listen and talk to some of the great offensive line prospects in this year's draft. You know the numbers at offensive tackle. Last year, what, three of the first four picks were offensive tackles? You probably heard the other day the report from a couple of draft experts who say that this year's offensive tackles are better than last year's when three of those first four picks went in the first four picks. And so it's an interesting crop of offensive linemen. We talked to several of them today, and we want to get your thoughts on a couple of things. But we also want to tell you that our coverage of the Combine is sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. Visit your local Napa Auto Parts store for Napa know-how and all your car care needs. We're here for the next 2 hours, getting you caught up on what went down here on day one for the media at the Combine in Indianapolis. A long day for us. It started early in the morning as we had a chance to talk to the head coach and meet with the Bills decision makers, and then the offensive linemen started filtering through, kind of getting our bearings straight for another year at the Combine. But we'd like to get your input on a couple of things tonight. And here's something to consider. Did you know 11 weeks from today, round one of the NFL draft, 11 weeks from today, Thursday, May 8th, 11 weeks from today, day one of the NFL draft. There's a ways to go. However, as we turn our attention to the Combine and this pool of draft prospects here in Indianapolis, time to start thinking about how to make the Buffalo Bills better. That was the topic of our conversation with Doug Marrone. That's the topic of our conversation with Kelvin Fisher. Obviously, that's the theme of what's going on here all this week, not just for the Bills, but for everybody. We want to get your thoughts on this. And you got to put yourself in this frame of mind, too. You got to accept the fact that the Bills are all in on E.J. Manuel. We got that message loud and clear when we were down at the Senior Bowl a month ago. They are all in with E.J. Manuel this year going into the season. They are. I mean, we all wish E.J. would have played more last year, more than 10 starts. We all wish he would have played better at times. He had ups and downs. But they're all in going into the season on E.J. Manuel. So let's accept that, and let's turn our attention to the draft. Let's acknowledge that the Bills were pretty good defensively last year. And when you talk about personnel, think about what you might do to make the Buffalo Bills quarterback, E.J. Manuel, in his second year, more effective in his second year. You probably have a pretty basic knowledge of the prospects in this draft, some of the key players in this draft. But what would you do in the first round, 11 weeks from today, to help E.J. Manuel? Would you draft an offensive lineman? A tackle, perhaps, like many of the fine tackles we saw coming through the media room today? Or would you draft a wide receiver? The wide receivers will come through the media room tomorrow. There's some good ones. Everybody's familiar with Sammy Watkins. There are several good receivers in this draft. How can the Bills best help E.J. Manuel, the guy that they're committed to at quarterback, the guy that they are all in with going into this year? How can they best help him, with an offensive tackle or a wide receiver? I want you to phone in your thoughts on that. If you have a thought on that, the lines are open. 803-0550 is the number to call. Toll free 1-888-552-550. You can always reach out and follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. How best can the Bills help E.J. Manuel in the first round of this draft? The first round is 11 weeks from tonight. How can they best help E.J. Manuel, with an offensive lineman or a wide receiver? If I had to pick, and it's a tough call, it's a close call, that's why we throw it out there. If I had to pick, I'd go offensive line. When I hear the draft gurus talk about how good these offensive tackles are, yes, Sammy Watkins is out there. I get a sense that after Sammy Watkins, the quality of wide receivers falls off quite a bit. But for offensive tackles, there are three top quality offensive tackles. Any one of the three, you know the names, Greg Robinson, Jake Matthews, Taylor Lewan. Any one of the three, all of the three, in fact, may wind up in the first 10 selections in the draft 11 weeks from tonight. So I have a sense that the Bills will and should go for an offensive lineman, a tackle, in the first round of the draft on May 8th. Now, it's not much fun to draft a tackle, I'll give you that. There's not much flash when you draft an offensive tackle. There's not a whole lot of highlights to look at. There's not big plays on the internet that you can take a look at and ooh and ah over. It's a tackle. It's a guy who hopefully does his job, does it well, doesn't get noticed much. But I think he could be a difference maker, one of those three. And we'd like to hear from you. If you had a choice, if you had a vote, who would you like to see the Buffalo Bills draft in the first round, or what position group? Would you rather see a tackle or a wide receiver? You may have some other thoughts on that, but let's limit it to that, because I do know they are committed to E.J. Manuel at the quarterback spot. I do sense that they want to get better around him. They have said that. They've said they want to get better around him. What do you think? Who would you pick if you were the Buffalo Bills with your first-round selection in the draft? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 is the number. Toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can reach us via Twitter on at John Murphy Show. A couple of tweets already on this. Paul Klewell tweets in, wide receiver, tight end in the first round. I didn't throw that option out there, Paul. He says, wait until the second or third round for an offensive tackle. Get both. EJ needs protection and good hands. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about tight ends. I think there might be one first-round quality tight end in this draft, and I don't even know if I'm sold on him. Ryan tweets in round one, if Sammy Watkins isn't there, I'd go OT in a heartbeat. I don't know that Sammy Watkins is going to be there. Let's see. Alex Clowden tweets in, wide receiver or tight end, no offensive tackle in first round. Brian Bedian tweets in, hard to argue against Watkins, but I'd love Jake Matthews. Want to see Sammy Watkins run routes against cornerbacks pretty badly. Alex Clowden, this is his second tweet. I don't know why everyone is saying offensive tackle to replace Glenn. He's been fine. If anything, Pierce should be replaced. And I say offensive guard is a bigger need. Well, I don't know if they're going to replace Cordy Glenn. That's an interesting question. I don't think they are. They speak very highly of Cordy Glenn. Very highly of Cordy Glenn. And if they draft one of these tackles, they could play him at right tackle. I wouldn't have a problem with that. Brian Greer tweets in, easy choice, offensive tackle. EJ got hurt a lot. OT would help him and would help Fred and CJ. An offensive tackle would definitely help Fred and CJ. But, and Marone was asked about this today, if you look at the injuries to EJ Manuel, really there weren't protection breakdowns that led to those injuries. I mean, he was scrambling. The Cleveland hit, obviously. The last one was sort of a freakish injury at Jacksonville. The preseason injury, scrambling to his right. But I don't have the place in front of me, but My thought is, on none of those three knee injuries did E.J. Manuel suffer from a pocket collapsing because of poor pass protection. I really don't. So let us know what you think. I mean, here's a tweet from Ken Krause. Mike Evans, wide receiver for sure. Interesting. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 is the number to call. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. You can continue to tweet in comments at John Murphy Show. 11 weeks from tonight, first round of the NFL draft. The Bills seemingly very committed, all in on E.J. Manuel. So what do they do in the first round to help E.J. Manuel the most? Wide receiver or offensive line, offensive tackle? 803-0550 the number. Let's start with Gerald in Springville. Hello, Gerald. You're on the air.
Well, I guess I got to differ with you that the first injury he got was in the preseason, and it was because the pocket collapsed. And
that's the one I can't remember. I know he was scrambling to his right.
He was in the pocket still, and he was basically standing straight up and got hit in the knee. And
no, he was scrambling to his right when he got hurt, right? Didn't he kind of fall down awkwardly on the far sideline?
No, that was in the regular season. So in the preseason, he got hurt, but he was also at the second team lineman in
right.
there because that's the first game that the other quarterback started.
Right, it was a home game, sure.
But it was definitely the pocket collapsing. Anyways, there's so much that could happen in the first round. I mean, I know there's a couple guards that will probably be highly ranked guards that should be available early in the second round, one from Stanford and one from UCLA. I think guard is really important this year as well. But I don't necessarily think we need to pick one of those superstar left tackles, but there's a guy from Notre Dame who could play guard or tackle.
Zach Martin.
Zach Martin, but yep. he could be available at nine.
Yeah, I think he would be, and I think that might be a little high for him. We had a long interview and a nice visit with Zach Martin down in Mobile a month ago at the Senior Bowl, and I actually talked to him just a little bit today. I don't know if he merits the ninth overall pick. You might be able to get him in the second round.
Yeah, maybe the second round. I saw him later in the first in what I was looking at, but that Stanford guard looks really good, but he could be in the second early in the second round, and that Xavier...
Suafilo
could be in the second round as well. So I guess overall I'd say I don't think we need to pick a lineman at ninth, but we could either try to pick up an extra second round pick early. And I really wouldn't be disappointed if they picked either a wide receiver or a really good linebacker in the first round.
All right, Gerald, thanks very much. Very well thought out comments, and I don't necessarily agree, but you put some thought into that. Let's hear from you if you have thoughts on that 11 weeks from today. First round of the Buffalo Bills draft, first round of the NFL draft. And if you're going to help E.J. Manuel, what helps him the most, wide receiver or offensive line? I mean, I could be persuaded wide receiver. I know Sammy Watkins is awfully good. And I'm wondering if maybe I don't anticipate Watkins will be there when the Bills select at ninth in the first round. And with that in mind, I'm wondering if I'm kind of bolstering myself for the fact that they probably would have to, I don't want to say settle, but probably have to go with one of those three good offensive linemen. I mean, maybe that's what I'm thinking. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. You can reach out and follow us on Twitter. If you're going to help E.J. Manuel, and I think the Bills are pretty committed to not only keeping E.J. Manuel, but going into this draft and helping E.J. Manuel, which is the best way to do it? Nick Spiraza tweets in, Greg Robinson, he's the Auburn tackle in round one. See tape versus Missouri, absolute mauler. Like to hear that. Eric Grimaldi tweets in, wide receiver or tight end over offensive tackle first round. We need playmakers that directly affect the outcome of the game. Guy Logel tweets in, offensive tackle, please get E.J. some time. Yeah, I mean, to me, either way, you would hope that there's going to be a playmaker obviously is big. It'd be great to have somebody who can score touchdowns. You're not going to get touchdowns from a guy who's playing offensive tackle. But in the long run, if you get one of these three, it may be one of those guys who plays for a decade or more and goes to a couple Pro Bowls. I mean, these guys get rave reviews, those top three offensive tackles. Let's take another call to weigh in on tonight's topic. Hi, you're on the air. Welcome. Who's this?
Jason.
Hey, Jason, welcome. You're on the show.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have to say tight end or wide receiver. I mean, we haven't had a quality tight end since Jay Riemersma left. And, I mean, one of the good wide receivers. We need a tall, fast wide receiver. So good on offensive linemen, you can wait until the second, third round to get a tackle.
Yeah, let me. I'm just looking up now. I have a mind that I don't know. I think people are a little bit more down on Scott Chandler than maybe is necessary. I'm pretty sure that did Jay Reimers ever have as many catches in a season as Scott Chandler had this year? I don't think he did. I really don't think he did. And I think Chandler is kind of an underrated player. He had a couple of high-profile drops that certainly stick in everybody's mind. But he's coming off, you know, a very solid year for the Bills. Best year for Jay Reimers. I'm looking it up now. He had a good year. 2001, he had 53 catches. So, yeah, he had a very good year. And I'm thinking Chandler had like 47 this year or something like that. Jeff, do you have that over there? It's 40-something, right? But I think you may be underplaying how valuable Scott Chandler can be. I think if you're not getting a difference-making tight end, if you're not getting a Gronkowski or a Jimmy Graham, then, and I don't know that Ebron is the guy to do that. If you're not getting one of those guys, I think you can win some games with Scott Chandler. You looked up numbers, Jeff.
Chandler also had 53 this year.
So 53. So their best years match each other. Not to degrade Jay Reimersman, but I don't know that he was a whole lot more effective than Scott Chandler was. And actually, Chandler's had a couple of good years now for the Bills, going back like a couple of seasons now. All right, we're talking about how do you help E.J. Manuel? Let's accept the fact that the Bills are all in with E.J. Manuel as their quarterback going into this year. How do you best help him in this draft? 803-0550 is the number, or toll-free 1-888-552-550. Want to just move on a little bit to some of the other topics going on here. A very busy day at the Combine. And we're going to hear from Bills head coach Doug Marrone in just a few minutes, as we had a long chat with him. But he did meet with the entire media, and one of the issues that came up, Jarris Byrd. As you know, Jarris Byrd, again, after the franchise tag last year, the Bills are now in that period from now until March 3rd, where they have an opportunity to put the tag on him again. And they just may do that. It's not Marrone's call, I mean, not his alone, but Doug Marrone was asked today for his postseason evaluation of the Bills' Pro Bowl safety, Jarris Byrd, and he had these thoughts on what Byrd's 2013 season looked like.
I told Jarris, I said, I have nothing but great things to say, and I have nothing but great things to recommend, and then now that goes to, you know, to Doug. It goes to Doug Whaley, and then it goes to management, and then, you know, they try to come up with something and try to, you know, see what's best for both parties. But I love him. I really do. He did an outstanding job for us.
I love him, Doug Marrone said. I love Jarris Byrd. He did an outstanding job for us. Another interesting player that came up today when Marrone met with the media, Stevie Johnson, of course, who missed the last couple of games after the untimely passing of his mother. Some speculation that was, I missed this, I guess, in January, speculation about whether or not the Bills were believed that Stevie Johnson was committed to coming back to the Bills and committed to the team concept. Doug Marrone was asked about that today and said he has had some recent dialogue on that topic with Stevie Johnson.
So I wound up texting Stevie, and he got back to me, and we had great conversations. So I told Stevie, I said, hey, listen, I'm excited about getting started with you. I'm excited about you coming in and being healthy, you know, and get this team going, and this is what we want to do and go. So, you know, whatever else you're hearing, it's not coming from me, but if you hear anything else, and, you know, make sure you call me. So it was a good, positive conversation that we had, and that happened within the last week. And then after that happened, then I went back and I found out something with CBS Sports that didn't really quote a source from the Bills, because, you know, that kind of stuff concerns me, because you don't want distractions like that for your players in the offseason. There's enough distractions about, you know, draft and who you're drafting.
Doug Marrone, we're going to hear more from him in a one-on-one interview we did with the head coach in just a minute. Let's squeeze in a few more phone calls here. James in Buffalo. Hello, James.
Hey, Murph, how you doing?
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to say my vote would be in for Mike Evans at that number 9 pick. I think EJ could really use is a big receiver with that Vincent Jackson mold who can go up and get the ball, you know, on the outside, and then second round go for a guy like Morgan Moses.
Okay, you're going receiver if it's a question of receiver or offensive tackle. Go to Tim in West Seneca. Hi, Tim, how are you?
Hey, Murph, how are you? Hey, based on Marrone being an offensive line guy and things of that nature, I think what we're going to do is we're going to address free agency first. I'm just going to run down three picks of the way I think I'm going. Free agency, they're going to spend the money and go to Hakeem Nicks. First round, they're going to trade back, and they're going to get the best linebacker to move Kiko out to the outside and get a middle linebacker. Then in the second round, they're going to have the extra pick, get a right tackle, get a best available guard, and round number 3, they're going to get a running back. Thanks, John.
All right, you got it all figured out, all mapped out. And you know what? The Bills have that. They don't have it mapped out. They don't know what other teams are doing, but they certainly have a plan. And we're going to talk tomorrow with Doug Whaley, the Bills general manager, try to get a sense of what that plan might be moving into free agency, which is, March 11th, first day of free agency, and then into the draft following that. A couple of more tweets that came in on this issue. And this goes back to when EJ was hurt in preseason. James Barlow tweets in, EJ got hurt in the preseason when scrambling to his right, and he dove over the top of the pile. That's my recollection, too. I don't think it was a pocket collapse there. James Renfro tweets in, wide receiver for sure, but interior lineman growing on me. Not in the first, but wide receiver, linebacker, middle. Okay. Nick tweets in, I really believe they can get good value on offense in the second, third, and later rounds. Go for a linebacker in round one to help out Kiko and company. Okay. Well, interesting. Interesting stuff. People obviously are, and how about this? How about the Fed? This says something about where the Bills are and where they've been, quite frankly, in recent years. No longer is there a consensus about, boom, this is what they need in the first round. I mean, it was all about quarterbacks a year ago, all about quarterbacks. It's not about that anymore. They have talent on this roster. They don't have enough. Obviously, they only had enough to win six games last year with a couple of the breaks that they suffered. They need more talent, but it's no longer a case where the Bills are just overwhelmed with needs. They're not there anymore. They are getting better. The cupboard is no longer bare, as you could argue it was maybe 3 years ago, and they're making strides forward. Well, the head coach, we had a chance to sit down with head coach Doug Marrone a little bit earlier on today, and we're going to let you hear that conversation in a minute. He talks at length about his role here at the Combine. He talks about the first year. He talks about the new coaches added to the staff and the postseason evaluations of some of the players that they've done from 2013. We'll take a break, and then we'll return with head coach Doug Marrone from the Combine. It is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. We are live at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from the NFL Scouting Combine, and we're sitting down with head coach Doug Marrone, your second year at the NFL Combine. You've been here many times before. You're feeling pretty comfortable, I would think, in your role as a head coach here.
Well, yeah, obviously, you know, I guess it's a lot easier than it was last year. You know, last year it was no secret. You know, we were going in there, you know, looking for a quarterback, and that, a lot of pressure, you know, when you do that. And because you know that, you tend to focus on that more. Whereas now, you know, it's much broader. You know, we can go ahead and we're looking at everyone and all the players. So, you know, from that standpoint, the pressure of not having to take a player at a certain position is much better.
You know, a month or so ago at the Senior Bowl, I had a similar conversation with Doug Whaley, and he said the same thing. He feels the core of your team personnel-wise is pretty strong right now. Do you agree?
I do agree. I feel that we have some good young players. As coaches, we need to keep developing them. You know, we have to keep adding players to our team. And at the same point, we have to do a better job with coaches, putting them in better position, you know, for them to win. So collectively, you know, overall, we all have to do a better job because obviously we're disappointed in where we were last year. And I can't tell you how excited we are, you know. One of the things we've been doing 50% to 75% of the time is really getting everything prepared for our players to come back. So we're excited about it.
Doug Whaley mentioned left tackle, quarterback, cornerback, and pass rusher as places where you guys feel like you're in pretty good shape.
Well, I think there's been a lot of speculation, you know, that goes on, especially during this time of, you know, hey, I think they need someone here, someone there. You know, when you look at left tackle, I'd find it hard to believe that we can, you know, bring in someone that maybe is better than Cordy Glenn in the way he played for us this year, and we feel that he can get much better. So, you know, obviously we're very happy with him. I think, you know, we're at a point where, you know, you go ahead and you can get the best players available and, you know, to help our football team. We don't really have to, you know, target anyone because once you do, then it gets difficult.
Doug, since 6 or 7 weeks since last season ended, I know part of what your coaching staff has done is evaluate last season. Did any surprises pop up in your player evaluations, maybe guys who played a little bit better than you thought as you made your way through the course of the year?
Probably not from a standpoint of player evaluation as you look at it, but from a standpoint of, you know, what was productive, you know, why didn't we do that more, or this wasn't productive, why do we keep trying to do that? Those are the things that come up now. More so than ever, and especially after the first year, because you know the first year you're going in there and you're putting those things together and you're trying to create a consistency about yourselves, you know, and obviously at the end of the year, you look and you're not what you're, you know, you want your record to be, and you go back and you start looking and you say, okay, all right, here's what we feel these guys have done well. Now we've did it together, out on the field, out during the game, not OTAs, not practice, not in shorts, and now that's something to build on, and that's what you get excited about.
What did you learn about your team, the 2013 Bills, that you didn't know when the season ended?
I think you learn a lot of things. I think that, you know, you learn about each other. There's no doubt. I mean, I think, you know, you ask any players, you know, they didn't know me, you know, before I came into that building. I didn't know them, you know, before I came into that building. Same with the coaches. You know, the coaches didn't know the players didn't know most of the coaches. And I think that's what you learn the most of, how to communicate, how to motivate, what the expectations are. Those are the things that you learn, because everything else, when you look around, X's and O's and on the classroom, on the board, having to practice, having to lift weights, having to watch film, those things are going on all the time. So the one point where you can grow and get better and better is the communication and what you want, what you're looking for.
You've had to get to know some new coaches on your staff since the last time we sat and talked with you at the Senior Bowl, and it didn't really take that long to fill some of the holes that were created when Mike Patton left.
No, I mean, you know, everyone, you know, has – you always need plans. You know, you never want to get caught. And you know, obviously Mike did a good job for us and we're happy. And, you know, we were able to go out and get the guy we wanted. And Jim Schwartz, we were able to go out and get the linebacker coach we wanted. And Freddie Puggett, you know, Pepper Johnson became available, which was great for us. Todd Downing, Jim Hostler. So we really feel that we've upgraded our staff. There's a lot of inner workings when you look at the staff of guys that have been around or worked together or grew up together. You know, there's a lot of connections, you know, where it's not just offense, it's not just defense or special teams, that, you know, we've all worked with each other or been around each other, which I think creates a much better atmosphere. And I think, you know, it's going to be one that the players are going to be able to see when they come into the building.
There's a lot of coaching experience and NFL experience with, I mean, you've got guys who now have been in the league for a while on the defensive side of the ball in particular and have had experience developing NFL players over the years.
Well, absolutely. I think that, you know, obviously Pepper has played in this league and is very successful, having been part of five Super Bowls, and, you know, and obviously he's coached in the division, which I think helps. Then you look at, you know, Coach Schwartz, who's been a defensive coordinator, has also been a head coach, which is great for me, you know, someone else that I can, you know, bounce things off of. And he's been a very successful defensive coordinator. So, you know, we bring him in. You know, Freddie Puggett, you know, he was a defensive coordinator in this league. So, you know, really when you look at our defensive side, there's three coaches that have been defensive coordinators. Donnie Henderson was a defensive coordinator, Freddie, and obviously with Jim. You know, and then you look at the experience that they bring. They've been around a long time and coached a lot of good football players. And then when you look at the offensive side, you know, Todd Downing, you know, was with Matt Stafford when he was a rookie being brought into this league. So he watched in his development. He's worked with EJ before at the Senior Bowl, so they have a relationship. You know, Jim Hosser has been around this league. He's also been a coordinator in this league. So you have someone else that's coordinated in the NFL level and brings that experience to you. So when you look at it overall, you know, we've really increased our staff and gotten ourselves better.
It's the John Murphy Show at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. We're talking with Bills head coach Doug Marrone. I don't expect you to open up the playbook here, but you do have a new defensive coordinator. How do you see your defense evolving from what it was a year ago?
Well, I think it's the same philosophy. You know, we're looking to see what the strengths of the players are and play to the strengths of them. You know, we were talking about even before Mike left, you know, that there were going to be some changes, because we have to make changes in all three phases of our program. You know, what are they going to be? Drastic changes? It all depends on who you talk to. Now, obviously, on defense, we want to keep some of the continuity with some of the words and calls and things like that, which that's what we're working on doing. We're actually trying to make it easier, you know what I'm saying, for our players so they can just go out there and play on the defensive side of the ball. You know, and then offensively, you know, we're looking to change some things there, and then obviously in special teams. So, you know, if it's the same thing. If we tried to stay the same, you know, how do we expect different results?
You had players who had successful years on the defensive side of the ball last year. It's got to help to have a guy like Schwartz who's coordinated very successful defenses come in and immediately get their attention. They know that they got to know they're in pretty good hands with
him. Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, you have someone, and Jim's a bright guy. He's not going to come in and say, okay, wait a minute, we got great production out of this player doing this. We're going to put him somewhere else now. That's not going to happen. So, you know, we're going to keep that production going, keep them developing, and find ways to get better. You know, we're looking to improve in all three phases of what we do because, you know, our record's not where we want it to be.
Do the changes, maybe the subtle changes coming in your defense, does that affect your personnel approach this offseason? Are you looking for different types of players, maybe?
I think a lot gets put into that. You know, people say things, but at the same time, I always say big, tough, strong, fast, you know, likes contact, you know, can tackle, can block. I mean, that's what you want. You know, let's get the best football players in and then put it on us to make sure that they get on the field.
And one more question about the coaching staff. When we talked to you at the Senior Bowl, you made mention of the fact that you were hiring a quarterback's coach. You hired a quarterback's coach and a senior offensive assistant. You've really kind of beefed up things around both Nathaniel Hackett and E.J. Manuel, I think, would benefit from that.
Oh, absolutely. I think that, you know, the situation that Coach Hackett was in last year was, I mean, you wouldn't wish that upon anyone in this league. It was a very difficult situation, again, because of the injuries, you know, when Kevin Cobb had gotten injured. So, you know, right now we're set up a lot. You know, I had success with this type of setup before. You know, when I was in New Orleans, we have a quarterback coach. Coach Hackett can concentrate on the game plan and go in and out of the quarterback meetings. You know, you have someone like Jim Hostler who knows how to game plan, has done it before, that can stay ahead, which is big. That's critical, you know, in doing that, staying ahead of the week. And you know, it'll benefit not only, you know, us as coaches, but more importantly, our players.
On the topic of EJ, was not able to finish the season. Any updates on his physical status? Have you had a chance to talk with him, or has the medical people looked him over since the season ended?
Well, obviously, he's in a medical process right now, and I don't want to get myself in jeopardy. Last time I thought he was okay, he wasn't able to come out and play. So, but I'll tell you one thing. You know, it was interesting, and I just mentioned this on a radio show a minute ago, but, you know, I was thinking about this before, and my conversations with him was obviously it's not about football because we can't do that because of the collective bargaining agreement, but I honestly see someone who's hungrier, who's out to prove more now, more than ever. You know, that he's going to perform at the level that he feels he's capable of performing at. And I'm excited about that. You know, he was excited last year, you know, to come out and be drafted in the first round. But, you know, I think, having gone through the injuries and not having been able to be out there with us the whole time has made him hungrier. And you know what? When your quarterback, you know, is talking like that, everyone gets excited.
I know you can't do anything about it, but it is a shame that the CBA prevents you from getting EJ in whenever he's ready to, you know, get to work in the classroom, maybe doing physical work at the company.
It is, but, you know, I look back at it, and, you know, we cause those problems ourselves, you know, as coaches. I've always been, you know, a part of it. The players come back, they start working out and lifting, and then you kind of gradually go into football, and then all of a sudden, you know, guys are coming back in, working right away, and, you know, I think it's tough. I think that, you know, you can't, you know, as an ex-player and you know, now as a coach, you can't complain. We had an opportunity to get it right, and we made them, you know, some people, you know, ruin it for everybody else, and that's what happens.
We're with head coach Doug Marrone at the NFL Scouting Combine. Coach, what is your typical routine like here at the Combine? What's a typical day like?
Well, I got a good routine. I get up, you know, get up early, obviously. You know, I want to get into the weigh-ins, so I see all the weigh-ins. And
how does that help you to see that?
Well, it's good. You know, you can just get a look at body type. I'm glad that I don't have to go up there. But, you know, the players go up there. You get, you know, they repeat, you know, the hand size and arms and things like that. But you have those already. But you just want to see the body type. Can he put on more weight? What's his frame like? Is he maxed out, you know, as far as, you know, is his legs, you know, too skinny, too big? So you're able to do that. You know, then obviously it'll go to the lifting now where you'll see the bench press. And then, you know, you get on the field. And when on the field is the most important thing. I know that's the thing I miss the most now, being a head coach. I love being on the field with the players because, you know, you can watch how they take instruction. You watch how they interact with each other, how they pull for each other, which I always thought was an important part of the process for me when I was evaluating the offensive line. So, you know, I try to do that same thing from the stands. And, you know, we'll be in the stands. We'll be together. We'll be, you know, collectively talking about players. And, you know, in the downtime, you're trying to watch as much film as you can on these players.
And then in the evenings, the meetings with the players, that's pretty critical also.
It is. It's difficult. You know, you don't have that long of a period of time. You know, basically you have about 15 minutes. So it's very difficult. But in that point, we're trying to get some of the football knowledge out of that. And that's why we try to make cut-ups and tapes and talk to them about what's going on there and not get into, you know, hey, where you're from, where we could read all of that. You know, we want to get a good sense of the football IQ and communication.
You know, this came up on our radio show last night. Can you get a sense of how important football is to a draft prospect in those meetings, in those little 15-minute meetings?
I think that's difficult. I think that, you know, I think it's funny, when I first came into this league, you know, one of the things that I was told to ask, we had a bunch of questions that they wanted to ask, and one of the questions was, you know, do you love football? And I remember looking at it, and I said to myself, that's crazy. What are you talking about? They're talking about the top players in the country. They all come down here to combine. I'm going to ask them, do they love football? But, you know, there's a lot to it now. I mean, you really have to dig in and figure it out, you know, how important the game of football is to them, because, you know, you'll see some players that'll come into this league and all of a sudden the game becomes their hobby and it doesn't become their first love. And, you know, that's where things, you know, can get difficult for that player and his performance.
The players are coached for those interviews at their various training centers. Can you break through that coaching in those meetings?
I think it's difficult. You know, they do such a good job now of getting those players prepped up. But I think, you know, you start hearing the same words from the same players, you know, you start doing that. And I think that's where it goes with time. You know, I think the more time you can spend with them in a different type of setting, excuse me, sure, meaning like, you know, when you bring them into your building, you know, and you're at dinner or at lunch, I think then you can get more out of them.
At the end of the combine next Tuesday, what do you hope to bring back to Orchard Park in terms of what you hear from these players, what you know about these prospects, and what you expect out of this draft class as far as the Buffalo Bills are concerned? When it's all said and done, what are you hoping to get out of this?
Well, we're hoping to have gathered a lot of information and not have given any out.
Including this interview.
Including this interview. So, no, but I mean, it's a thing. I mean, you're here, everyone's here. There's a lot going on, and there's a lot of information gathering, not just, you know, what's going on in the field, not what's going, you know, just what's going on in the interview process, but You know, our coaches are talking to other coaches about some of the things that they're doing, that they're happy with, how's, you know, lifting schedules, practice schedules, things like that. So we're trying to gather a lot of information to bring back.
Last question for you, Coach, is you get into your second year as head coach of the Bills. It's your first year working with essentially a new personnel team, with Doug Whaley as general manager, Jim Monas now as the director of player personnel, Calvin Fisher, director of college scouting. How's that transition gone? Tell me about that group and maybe the working relationship you have with those guys.
It's been outstanding. I mean, you know, to say, like, you know, this is the first time we met, that's not true. I mean, we've talked all the way through the season. Obviously, Jim and I have worked before together in New Orleans. Kelvin's been around quite a bit now, came to a bunch of games this year. We sit down and talk. So the communication has been outstanding. I don't feel like it's new, you know, because of the way, obviously, when Buddy Nix was here, how Doug transitioned through that. You know, he was part of everything, even part of the interview process when I was, you know, interviewing with the team. So I feel like it's always been this way. We've always been together from the beginning. And I think that, you know, I feel very comfortable with that. And I'm excited. I have the greatest amount of confidence in all of them, you know, to make sure that we get the best players for our team.
Coach, thanks. Have a good week.
All right, Murph. Thank you.
Head coach Doug Marone, John Murphy at the NFL Scouting Combine on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back to Indianapolis, the site of the NFL Scouting Combine. The John Murphy Show here all this week. A couple hours tonight, couple more hours tomorrow night, and we'll be live here in Indianapolis. Our thanks again to head coach Doug Marone. I really enjoyed talking with him today. I always do, but he seemed to be particularly engaged today. And had some interesting things to say. He said, Cordy Glenn, I mean, you hear the praise they have for Cordy Glenn at left tackle. In fact, we got a tweet just a minute ago from Thurman Thomas, who said Cordy had a great year, agreeing with head coach Doug Marone, who says, you know, Cordy Glenn was solid at left tackle for the Bills. Marone also said E.J. Manuel. I thought that was interesting. They haven't had a chance to talk to them about football. They haven't had a chance to really do much medical evaluation of him. But he did say Manuel is hungrier than ever, according to Marone, to prove that he can perform at a high level. And Marone sounded excited about that. So our thanks to him. We'll talk more about that. Coming up in the next hour, I want to reopen the phone lines, get your thoughts on the Bills' first draft pick, 11 weeks from tonight, round one of the NFL draft on Thursday night, May 11th. If you want to help E.J. Manuel, if you want to help him as much as you can in the upcoming year, what do you do with that first pick? Offensive line, tackle, or do you go to wide receiver? Give us a call if you have thoughts on that. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. It fits in well with where we are at the Combine. We spent most of the day talking to the premier offensive tackles in the draft, and you'll hear some of them coming up. in the next hour. And tomorrow we'll spend most of the day hearing from some of the premier wide receivers along with quarterbacks and running backs tomorrow. So it's on our mind here at the Combine, those offensive linemen today. Tomorrow night the wide receivers will be on our mind. Which position group best helps E.J. Manuel succeed in year two in the NFL? Phone lines will be open when we return, 803-0550, the number, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We've got all kinds of coverage of the Combine on our website, BuffaloBills.com. Our man Chris Brown, lead journalist for BuffaloBills.com, hard at work as we speak, posting up some of the interviews, some of his observations on the interviews we did today. You can look at a video recap of the day. Chris Brown and I will have Bills Roundup up on the website very shortly tonight, a video review of what went on here today. You can see complete interviews with Doug Marrone and some of the others up on the website as well. So go to BuffaloBills.com. And, of course, if you miss portions of our show, if you'd like to hear the whole Doug Marrone interview, it is up right now at BuffaloBills.com/John Murphy Show. Got another hour to go. We're going to talk about offensive linemen. We're going to talk with the Bills' new director of college scouting, Kelvin Fisher, in the second hour. So stick around. A lot more to come. We're coming to you from Indianapolis, the site of the NFL Combine, and our Combine coverage is presented by Napa Auto Parts. Visit your local Napa Auto Parts store for Napa know-how and all your car care needs. One more hour, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from the NFL Combine in Indy on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop C.J. Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
Let's go sometime.
Hold hands. Let's go. Check it out.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands. This crowd has absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hour two of the show, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. You know what I just realized? That little soundbite for Marcel Darius from, it was a couple of months ago back in the season. And we were talking about Motown. Actually, it was longer ago than that. We were talking about Motown, and in Detroit, I mentioned to him that in Detroit, the home of the hits, they call it. It's a tourist site where Berry Gordy had his where he recorded his Motown music. And I met, and you, what you hear is a little clip from that conversation. And I said, let's go sometime. But I've never heard I just kind of listened to Marcel. He said, we'll hold hands. Let's go. I don't want to hold hands with Marcel Darius. I really don't. All right, hour two of the show. Can you tell we're a little punchy, a little tired? We're here for another hour tonight. We want to hear from you. Give us a call. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. You can reach us on Twitter. We're at the Combine in Indianapolis in the studios of WXNT Radio, CBS Sports in Indy. Want to thank right at the outset here, at the 1 hour in anyway, our engineer Mike Raby, who's done a tremendous job of setting us up, getting us up and running. And let's hear from you. We've been talking about the draft. Obviously, we're at the Combine talking about the draft. Round one of the draft, 11 weeks from tonight. If you want to help E.J. Manuel out, what do you draft? You go offensive line, a tackle. We're going to hear from some of these tackles in a moment. Or do you go wide receiver? We'll hear from the receivers tomorrow. If you have a thought on that or anything else about the Bills or the NFL, the lines are open. 803-0550 is the number. Toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can reach out and follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Today in Indy, a long day, an interesting day. It was 57 degrees. It got up to like 60 here in Indy today. Rained most of the day. Cloudy skies and rainy, but it certainly felt like spring. Actually got me in a little bit of a football mood when I looked outside Lucas Oil Stadium. We spent the day in there talking with some of those offensive line prospects, talking to some of the Bills' decision makers. We're going to hear from one of them, Kelvin Fisher, the new director of college scouting, at the bottom of this hour, so stick around for that. And tomorrow we'll talk with some of the wide receiving prospects. We did spend time with head coach Doug Marrone. You heard our long interview with Coach Marrone last hour. He also met outside the dome with several media. We were there for that. Marrone had a lot of interesting things to say. He talked about Jairus Byrd. He says, I love him. I really do. He said he recommended to the powers that be, Doug Whaley, et cetera, that they get him signed. Try to come up with something and see what's best for both parties. That was Marrone's quote on that. What about tight end? Doug Marone was asked about tight end, and again, the Bills have a potential free agent in Scott Chandler when free agency opens on March 11th, coming off a career year in terms of number of catches, a potential free agent for the Bills. And Doug Marone was asked about tight ends and went into assessing the tight ends on the Bills roster, including Chandler, Tony Moiaki, and the second-year man now, Chris Gregg.
Well, I know that, you know, with Tony, you know, coming on late at the end of the year, you know, he did a nice job. We still have, you know, Chris did a nice job for us. He didn't play as much, you know, so he got in there a little bit. But I thought when he was in there, he did a nice job. Lee Smith, obviously, is more of a why for us, you know. And then, you know, hopefully we can get Scott back. I think Scott did a heck of a job for us. So, you know, he's in the same situation that Jarris is in, you know, as far as what happened. I talked to Scott after the year. I thought he did a great job. I thought he's a guy that, you know, tries to lead well, does everything that we asked of him, you know, and I'm hoping that he decides to come back. I really do.
Head coach Doug Marone talking about the tight end situation, and you heard him talk about Scott Chandler. He thought he had a great year, did a great job, thought he was a guy that tries to lead well. He does everything we ask him to. Interesting comments, I thought, today from Doug Marone. We haven't had a chance to talk with him since the Senior Bowl, and he hasn't really had much publicly to say in several weeks, and that includes last week when all of the NFL was abuzz with the news about Michael Sam, the Missouri linebacker, who announced about, what, 9 days ago now that he is gay, and he will be at the Combine. He'll be available to the media on Saturday, I believe. But head coach Doug Marone was asked about Michael Sam's announcement and whether he thought it was newsworthy.
I think it's very courageous of, you know, to come out and say what he feels, and I think people should do that. I mean, it must be awful to not be able to say what you feel or what you believe. And you know, but I think when it comes down to the NFL, it always comes back to the same thing. You know, can you, you know, put a performance? Can you perform good enough to help your team win? And I think that's what everyone gets evaluated on here. And I think the same with the locker room. I think we have a great culture in our building. I think we have a great culture in our locker room. I think our players are open to, and I can't speak for them, but as far as the organization, you know, we're open to, you know, bringing anyone in that can help better our football team win games and help our community.
Is there anything more that needs to be said about Michael Sam? And just listening to what Coach Marone said in 30 or 40 seconds, he captured it perfectly. Courageous move for him to make that announcement. Always come in the NFL, it's always about production. Can you perform well enough to help your team win? And in the locker room, he said, we've got a great culture in the locker room. He says the players would be fine with it. Very, I thought in 30 or 40 seconds, the coach perfectly captured the right way to address the Michael Sam announcement from a week ago. One more comment from Doug Marone. And this, he got into depth, like I haven't heard him in a while, about what the addition of Jim Schwartz will mean to the Buffalo Bills defense. Different style of defense, that's what we all assume, I guess, going from Mike Patton's defense last year to Jim Schwartz's defense this year. A lot of speculation about wide nine that Schwartz might play, that he's going to go back to four down linemen. A lot of people worry, I think, that the Bills might undergo a total overhaul of what they did defensively last year to some success last year. Marone was asked about that. Another defense, new defense for the Bills this year and what that might mean.
I've been getting a lot of questions about like 3-4 and 4-3, and really, if you look at what we were last year, you know, we really played an under defense. So we really had a four down lineman in the game the whole time. We had, you know, an outside linebacker on the ball, and we played with two linebackers behind the line of scrimmage. So we're not that typical 3-4. Now, we were in some three down spacing on third and long. We were in four down spacing. So we did a lot of things. But to say that we were this and want to put us there, I really don't think that's fair. And it's really not what we've done. But to answer your question, hey, can we get to more three linebacker type of defenses, you know, compared to before? Will we be in some two linebacker defenses? Yes. You know, will we have, you know, two defensive ends on the outside playing wide? We had that last year. You know, our thing is just putting the strengths of our players, putting them in the best position and getting better and winning. I mean, you know, I want to just win. I don't really care, you know, what we run or what we do. You know, I just want to make sure that we can win, and what you do to win is you put your players in the best position.
You can hear the winds of downtown Indianapolis behind Doug Marone. A very windy day. We were part of a group who talked to Coach Marone outside Lucas Oil Stadium earlier today around noontime. Just a couple of more thoughts from the head coach. We want to play for you some of the thoughts from some of the offensive linemen today that we had a chance to listen to at the media gathering here at the Combine. We are the John Murphy Show, live from the Combine in Indianapolis, and the phone lines are open at 803-0550. Let's take a call. We have a caller who wants to lobby for Sammy Watkins. Hi, you're on the air. Who is this, please?
Alex from Brockport.
Hey, Alex, how you doing?
Good. How are you, John?
Good.
So, first, I think we should sign Bird to a non-exclusive franchise tag. That way, if we can either A, trade him, or B, we get two first-round picks if another team wants him.
Yeah, nobody, if they sign him to that, nobody is going to send you two first-round picks for him. So,
also, I think either Watkins or the two top tackles, Robinson or Matthews, I think Watkins could be dynamite in our offense, especially since Marone likes to run jet sweeps, and he busted a ton of those in college play. And Matthews is a plug-in tackle. He'd immediately be able to fit at right tackle and play from day one. And Robinson fits our scheme perfectly because he's a really strong, heavy run blocker, and the areas he needs to bulk up in are pass blocking.
Does Taylor Lewan figure into your mix of top tackles in this draft?
I think Taylor Lewan fits more along. I think he'd be a little bit of a reach at nine, just because he sometimes at times is top-heavy, and his hips aren't exactly at flexibility where you'd like to see. And so I think at nine he'd be a little bit of reach. But if we traded back a few picks into that 13 to 16 range and chose Lewan there, I'd be more okay with that.
All right. Thanks for your call. Some interesting observations on the offensive line. And let's go to Mark in Jersey City. Hi, Mark. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, John. I'm also going to advocate Sammy Watkins because I think if he's there, he's just you can't not take the guy because he's just so dynamic. Even if they keep Stevie, it was interesting what Marone said about you try to gather as much information and not give out a lot. And he made a comment about Stevie about reaching out and stuff. And I think even if you keep Stevie, you still draft Watkins because, I mean, all the injuries they had at wide receiver, Goodwin missed games, Woods missed games, Stevie missed games, and really hindered the passing attack. And if you can enhance your ability there, you definitely take advantage of it.
Okay, thanks very much for your call, Mark, in Jersey City. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. If you've got thoughts on which way the Bills should go with their first-round draft pick 11 weeks from tonight, give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We posed the question to the listeners tonight and basically made it A or B, mostly because today we talked to offensive linemen, tomorrow we talked to wide receivers. And I realize there's 11 weeks to go. We don't know what's going to happen in free agency. We don't know what's going to happen with the evaluations that come this week here at the Combine, the pro days, et cetera. People will be moving up and down. But today we wanted to post it that way, offensive lineman versus wide receiver. We did have a chance to hear from some of the key offensive linemen, including the guy who many people believe is number one on the list, Texas A&M tackle Jake Matthews, the top left tackle prospect in the draft. That's what most people believe. That's what our lad's guide to the NFL draft calls him. 6'5", 310 pounds, part of the big Matthews family, the NFL dynasty, the Matthews. Jake Matthews at his news conference today talked about his approach to the combine this week.
Really just go out, just keep doing what I've been doing, working hard, doing things the right way. One thing my dad's always tried to reiterate with me is if you go out and work hard and do things the right way and put your full effort in, you know, you'll get the results you want. So that's something I've always tried to do and just trying to keep it up now.
Jake Matthews, of course, played in a pretty high-powered offense at Texas A&M, and his quarterback, Johnny Manziel, is going to attract a lot of attention when he shows up in the meeting room tomorrow. But today, Jake Matthews, and I got the sense he's been asked a lot over the years about Johnny Manziel, but he had these thoughts on his college football teammate, quarterback Johnny Manziel.
You really never know what to expect. He's all over the place. But at the same time, you got to take what comes with it because, you know, the guy makes plays. He's proved it game after game. So, like I said, I'm just trying to go out there and give him time and let him do what he does. No, I don't consider him a me-first guy at all. My whole experience with him and having him as a quarterback was nothing but good things. You know, when he was out on the field, he was just a tremendous competitor, great leader, you know, someone that I love playing for. And, yeah, I was glad to have him as my quarterback.
Jake Matthews talking to the media today. He talks about one other issue that we wanted to play for you, and it is the comparison. And even as the last caller mentioned, Greg Robinson of Auburn, Jake Matthews of Texas A&M, regarded as the top two prospects. Michigan's Taylor Lewan is believed to be in that mix as well by some. Greg Robinson, it is said, has a higher upside. Jake Matthews may be more of a finished product, a polished player going into this draft. Matthews was asked about that comparison between he and Robinson as they both go into the combine.
Being considered a polished player, you know, someone who's done a lot and played well, you know, I take that as a big honor, you know. But at the same time, I still feel like there's a lot I can get better at. So definitely wouldn't say that I'm, you know, at my peak. I think there's still a lot more I can learn, a lot more I can get better at. So all those things, you know, stuff that's motivating me, and I'm just trying to come out here and put up good numbers and, you know, prove that, you know, I am capable of being the best lineman here.
Jake Matthews, it'll be interesting to see what kind of numbers he puts up this week. The offensive lineman hit the field on Saturday. Now, we did not get a chance to see Greg Robinson. He will probably make his way around to the media room here at the Combine a little bit later on this week, so we did not get a chance to see him. We did get a chance to see Taylor Lewan, the offensive tackle from the University of Michigan. Now, he also is highly regarded, 6 foot 7 inches tall, 315 pounds. My initial observation on Taylor Lewan was that he's, I don't know, not immature, but just maybe not as media-friendly as Jake Matthews. Taylor Lewan coming out of Michigan, naturally the comparison would be with the former first-round pick Jake Long, who went to the Miami Dolphins years ago, and he says he likes to be compared to Jake Long. Offensive lineman Taylor Lewan of Michigan was asked, does he play with an attitude? Does he have a nasty attitude? Does he play with swagger?
I don't know if I'm, you know, have swagger or anything like that, but no, my main focus in my game is to give the running back an opportunity to have yards and give my quarterback an opportunity to be successful in the pocket. You know, my job doesn't give me, you know, highlights and stuff like that, but I love doing what I do, whether it's in the future, left tackle, right tackle, guard, center, it doesn't matter, as long as I have the opportunity.
What are you most proud of in your development from last year?
One thing I really, really stressed on was pass protection, just because that's so huge in the NFL, and, you know, that's something I obviously need to get better. Everything in my game needs to get better. But my main focus is that, and I think it's gotten much better.
So where does this label coaches like it come from?
Where did it come from? I don't know. I just know that, you know, if I was a coach, and if I was a coach and I would want my players to play through the whistle every single play. I mean, not necessarily dirty or nasty or, you know, get personal fouls, which I've done a couple times, but I would absolutely want my players to try to take somebody and put them in the dirt against their will every single time you play.
Taylor Lewan, the Michigan offensive tackle, a lot of questions about an incident in a game against Ohio State. He is going to be matched up against those other two, Greg Robinson and Jake Matthews, all this week and probably right into the first round of the draft on May 8th. Taylor Lewan was asked how he thinks he compares to Robinson and Jake Matthews as they go into this weekend of workouts.
That's the biggest trap question I've ever heard in my life. No, yeah, both those guys, Greg Robinson and Jake Matthews, they're great players. I've seen them play. They're awesome. As far as selling myself as a player, is like I've been saying, I'm a consistent player that plays through the whistle regardless. Whether, you know, it's injuries, whether it's anything, I'm going to play through it no matter what. Anything that happens, I'm here to play for the team. I'm a team player through and through.
Taylor Lewan, the offensive lineman, the tackle from the University of Michigan, as we said, we hope to get a chance to talk with Greg Robinson from Auburn tomorrow. One other guy who met the media today is a guy we introduced you to last night on the radio show, a telephone interview with John Urschel, the Buffalo product, the Williamsville native, product of Canisius High School and Penn State University, the guy with that incredible story about getting his degree in math in 3 years at Penn State, getting a master's degree in math after that, working on a second master's degree, teaching some pretty advanced mathematics courses at Penn State the last two semesters. He came out and met the media today, fielded a lot of questions about his background in math. But he also made it pretty clear, John Urschel of Buffalo, Williamsville, said he wants to make sure everybody knows that he comes here to play football. He wants a shot at the NFL, he told us here last night. He has been working out in San Diego for the last several weeks at the Athletes Performance Camp, and he says he sees results.
I think it served me well, just my preparation, week in and week out, my off-season work ethic, just taking care of my body, little things. And man, I'm excited to be able to just focus on football 100% and just immerse myself in that and see how much better I can be when I have 100% of my focus on football. I don't have to worry about academics.
I wonder how much he worried about academics, a guy who got 4.0 throughout his college career, won the trophy as the top student athlete in college football this past year. I don't know how much worrying he did about it, but he certainly did a lot of work. There's no question about that. John Urschel from Williamsville, Canisius High School product. He was asked, and a lot of the questions dealt with the issues and notes that we talked with Urschel about last night, but the rest of the media, the national media, asked John Urschel today if he sees himself as a role model for young student athletes.
Absolutely. I think it's a common misconception that to be, you know, a pro football player, you just have to be athletic. You have to be intelligent as well, especially at the offensive lineman position. There's a lot of mental things that go into this game that, you know, kids just don't really understand when they start playing the game at a young age.
That is John Urschel. A pleasure talking with him today, and it was kind of neat to see the rest of the media get a taste of the kind of stuff we talked to with him about last night. We wish him well as he continues on. He'll have workouts and testing to go through tomorrow, and then they'll be on the field on Saturday here at the Combine. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We are live from the Combine in Indianapolis, and we're going to hear from Calvin Fisher, the Bills' Director of College Scouting, in just a few minutes. We want to hear from you. If you have thoughts for the Bills, if you had to choose how to best help E.J. Manuel, wide receiver, offensive line in the first round of the draft, which, by the way, is 11 weeks from tonight, who would you choose, or what would you choose, wide receiver or offensive tackle? 803-0550 is the number to call, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. And some Twitter followers, if you want to do that, you can go to @JohnMurphyShow on Twitter. A couple of tweets. Chris Jackson tweets in, a playmaker on any side could help. I think the draft is better for a weapon like wide receiver. Use our cap space to boost offensive line from free agency. Maybe you can get at least a serviceable offensive lineman. But I like the idea of getting a blue chip offensive tackle who can play for 10 or more years, an anchor on that offensive line, a Will Wolford, a guy who'll just stay and play and excel and go to Pro Bowls. I like that idea a lot. I like the idea of that guy growing up with E.J. Manuel in this Buffalo Bills offense. Garth Blakely tweets in, I would pick up a right tackle and left guard in free agency, draft a wide receiver and tight end in 1 and 2, and then draft another tackle and guard. Pretty comprehensive there. Let's see. Frank Conway tweets in, offensive tackle is fundamental and harder to find. That's what I think. He continues, pick a slew of wide receivers in later rounds or undrafted signings. Keep in mind, the Bills drafted 2 wide receivers last year, both of whom contributed. Marquise Goodwin and Robert Woods, they both got to stay healthy. But they used 2 picks on wide receivers last year, both on the roster. I anticipate both will be on the roster this coming season. And 2 years ago, they used a 3rd-round pick on T.J. Graham. Can they get better at wide receiver? Yeah. But they have spent some capital there. They have definitely spent some capital at wide receiver. If they were to draft a wide receiver, and I'm not arguing against it if it happens, but if they were to choose use their first-round pick on a wide receiver, think about this. Then over the last 3 drafts, they would have used a 1st, a 2nd, and a Marquise Goodwin was a 3rd, and T.J. Graham was a 3rd. So they would have used 1, 2, 3, 4 of their top 3 rounds in 3 consecutive drafts on wide receiver. I think that's a little much. Michael Fitzgerald tweets in, my hope would be Watkins / or best offensive tackle 1st, inside linebacker, then guard and running back. Pete Vitovich tweets in, OT, OT, OT. He doesn't mean overtime. He means offensive tackle. That's what I think. Buffalo Fan tweets in, 1st wide receiver Mike Evans, 2nd offensive tackle Morgan Moses, 3rd tight end Tony Nicholas. Jason tweets in, wide receiver, no question. Cordy Glenn is only going to get better. They can grab an offensive tackle in free agency. Jason Wheelock tweets in, we need another wide receiver playmaker. Ebron would be good, fits the tall receiver and creates the mismatch you want. And Ollie Calabrese tweets in, wide receiver 1st round, take a talented offensive tackle in the 2nd with the depth of this draft. We're all over the board on this. No, actually, we're not. Most people think wide receiver with the Bills' 1st pick. I happen to disagree today. I reserve the right to change my mind in the next 11 weeks before 1st round of the draft. We'll talk more about this, but we're going to take a break now, and then we're going to hear from the guy who is in that draft room and has been in that draft room for the last 10 months or more. He is the Bills' 1st-year Director of College Scouting. And he'll be joining us next. Calvin Fisher will be with us here at the Combine when we return. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're live from Indy, the NFL Scouting Combine on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back to the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, live from the Combine in Indianapolis, and we're joined by the Bills' Director of College Scouting, Calvin Fisher. Calvin, Combine, the start of a lot of fans getting engaged in the draft for the first time this year. For you, I wonder if this is almost the beginning of the end of the draft process.
Yeah, it is the beginning of the end of the draft process. You know, this is one you get to interview players, get to see them and talk to them and get to know them a little better. And then, obviously, you know, the workouts are big.
It's different for fans who are just getting to know some of these players, just getting to know some of the faces. They'll watch the Combine this week on television and get some thoughts on who these people are. You guys are pretty familiar with the 330 or so players who are here already, aren't you?
Yeah, we are familiar with them. What's fun about the Combine to me is you watch the process started in August, and now it's February, and you're actually getting to really put a face with a number and a name. That process is fun for me because you're finally getting to know that player. You think you know him as a player, but you don't know him as a person.
So up till now, he's been a figure on video screen, maybe.
Correct. You know, just a number, name. You know, big guy, small guy. I mean, you know. Yeah. So now the whole process of getting to see him in interviews, the weigh-in, the bench press, the workouts, you kind of get the feel of what they really are. You know.
Yeah, it's your first year with the Bills, Kevin, but 13 years before that with the Pittsburgh Steelers. How has your job changed in this past year, in first year as director of college scouting?
It changed more more schools to do, and you're pretty much covering the country, and you're watching better players all the time. So you have a better comparison. You know, as an area scout, you have an area, so your best player may not be the best player in the country, whereas when you're the director, you get to go across the country, so you'll see a good player, and it's a better comparison because you're seeing all the good players.
When you were with the Steelers, you were mostly West Coast, West, right?
Correct.
And now you get a chance to look at everybody, and how did you decide how to spend your time? I mean, what would be the trigger for you to go and take a look at player X or player Y?
Well, we have a list, you know, compiled from the Blesto list, and at that point, then you put your guys together on what guys you're going to go look at, and you know, and obviously some guys pop up that's better than what was on the list, so then you kind of change your schedule to go see those guys as well.
And you watch practices, games, a little bit of both?
Everything. Film, practice, games, I mean, everything.
Do you make decisions based on what your area scouts are telling you? In other words, could an area scout say, hey, you ought to come down here and take a look at this guy?
Well, if he's not on the list, and the area scouts say, hey, I like this guy a lot, and he's a pretty good player, then, you'll go and check that guy out. But your list is kind of put together pretty good, so you will have the obstacle of changing your schedule or catching a guy at the end of the year, something like that.
So give us an idea, during the course of the college football season, how many weeks were you out on the road and how many days per week were you out?
I was probably out between 5-6 days a week, depending on the week and depending on how long I was going to stay out. So I could stay out from 10 to 16 days. So, I mean, you know, you're pretty much going after it every day except for Sunday, really. And then, you know, Friday's a little lighter day because there's no practice, but you still watch the film, and then you go to the games on Saturday. So, I mean, it was different for me because, I mean, you start out in August when they start training camp, and you end in the end of November, and you're still not really complete until maybe the middle of December.
Yeah. You know? You must have a heck of a frequent flyer mileage account.
I haven't even checked that in a while. So.
I might have to borrow some miles one of these times. Hey, Kevin, as we said, 13 years with the Steelers. Did you bring any Steelers scouting practices with you when you came to the Buffalo Bills this year?
I have, you know, and I've tried, you know, talking with the scouts to, you know, let them know certain things that I've learned over the years in Pittsburgh. Some of the guys kind of already knew it, you know, so different theories on different players, different positions, you know, I have, you know, from Pittsburgh, and, you know, you try to implement those same theories and philosophies with Buffalo.
It's got to help to have Doug Whaley also from the Steelers system to be kind of the overseer of all that.
Right. It's great because, you know, we thinking alike, right? Because we're kind of been in the same, you know, team. So we was able to basically see players the same way without even really seeing them the same way. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
So it, I mean, that was really good. And even Jim Monos, his philosophy is kind of the same way. So we really meshed together.
Talking with Calvin Fisher, the Bills' director of college scouting at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. A couple of weeks ago, you had, I believe, all the area scouts in Orchard Park for, a week or so of meetings, right? What went on there?
We just talked about all the guys and started putting it together. So just kind of get a feel for where we stand with all the players.
Tell us, how is that meeting organized? Do you go position by position, or does each area scout handle all the guys he's seen?
We go position by position. And we just talk about every guy in whatever area scout did the guy, and they'll talk first and discuss them, and it's pretty in depth.
When I hear scouts talk, they talk about doing a read on a player. Is that what you're talking about? So one of your scouts will say, all right, I've got this tight end, and here's what I saw throughout the course of the year.
Correct.
And chances are you may have seen the same guy, and you can weigh in too.
Correct.
How long does that process take, and what do you wind up with when it's all over?
It took a couple days, and then basically you wound up with just knowing the players that's out there. You know, we know what players are out there. We know how we like them. So, I mean, now this process, and I always tell everyone, it's a 4-to-5-step process through this whole deal. So I think we're on phase 3 right now. So this, the combine, to me, is phase 3 of the process.
Do you put grades on these players in those meetings?
Yeah, we do.
And what's phase 4 of the process?
So I would say that second meet, that's the meeting before the draft, I believe is, for me, it's phase, like, someone else may have a different philosophy, but for me, it's like, this is phase 4 of the process.
The fourth and final phase.
Right, and then that fifth phase of the draft, and at that point, you're hoping, we're planning on really not having an issue. We know who we're going,
right?
You know, it's going to fall in our, the guy who we want is going to fall in our lap.
Right.
That's the plan.
Do you have a draft board up in Orchard Park right now?
No, I don't think we do.
Okay. You have players' names, though, right, up on a board? Or, I mean, do you have rankings or anything as you go into this combine?
Yeah, we kind of have a ranking. We have a ranking.
Tell me about the cross-check process. Have you started that yet, or do scouts check each other?
We're at the point right now where we feel like we know these guys. So, I mean, the cross-check was during the year. I mean, the cross-check, I don't know if we necessarily have a cross-check. We did every single guy. We got enough looks with every single guy. So, I mean, that process was phase 2.
Okay. And what about, is there any or much involvement of the coaching staff at this point or moving forward?
They're involved in it, and they have their list of guys, and we'll go into that phase, I guess, in the next meeting.
We're with Calvin Fisher, the Bills director of college scouting. We're at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. And tell us, what a guy in your position, what do you come here looking for? What do you come to the Combine looking for?
Looking to see the athletic ability of the players. You know, if you have questions on certain things, you want to see if that person can handle it, you know, the mental part of it. I mean, you know, this is a 4-day process for these players that's pretty mentally draining and physically draining.
You mentioned to me that you spent part of the morning at the weigh-ins for the offensive linemen and tight ends. Why is that important to be there? I mean, it's numbers on a sheet of paper.
Yeah, but I think the body types, you know, and a lot of it, too, is what you see in the fall. Have these guys been working to change their bodies, you know?
And you can see that by the weigh-ins.
Yeah, the weigh-in, and obviously, you know, there were all-star games, and some of these guys are at all-star games and things like that. So some of these guys we already seen and at the all-star games, and now, you know, you may see a drop in weight, you may see a gain in weight, you know, so it helps.
These players, this first group, offensive linemen and tight ends, will be on the field here at Lucas Oil Stadium on Saturday. You observe those workouts here and the different tests they do. What do you look at, and what, in particular for offensive linemen, what's important to you?
I just think you're looking to see how athletic they are, their movement.
Do you set up, like, benchmarks, Calvin, for particular positions? Like, a guy has to fall within, an offensive lineman has to, you know, have this time doing a particular drill. Is that part of it?
I haven't set up any benchmarks on what I want to see a guy run in or this. And I'm looking at them more to see how they move around, their athleticism, their foot quickness, you know, different things like that.
With approximately 100 underclassmen in the draft this year right now, how does that change? How has it changed the evaluation that you've done and moving forward?
It hasn't changed. I mean, obviously some of them guys are better than the seniors that's coming out, but and some of them they're not, but I mean, it hasn't changed as far as like your approach. You know, it's just you have to work a little harder because you don't find out until January that these guys are coming out.
So do you play catch up like when the names come out late January?
Yeah.
I guess you'd have to, right?
You're running around definitely trying to catch up.
In this class this year, Calvin, are there any position groups that you see especially deep? Groups that look like there are a lot of good players that you might get a crack at?
I think with the juniors coming in, I think it changes different positions just because it's different guys coming out, and your skill guys and your big guys. But it changes just the amount of good players that's coming out. And like I always say, your junior class, basically we're looking at the seniors of next year, really this year. Yeah. So
you obviously, being around the Bills, have a sense of what the team might be looking for in the draft and in personnel overall. How much does that color your, attention this week?
Well, I don't know what we're looking for. I just know we want to get the best player. So the process will go, take its course, and I think we'll find the best player for the Buffalo Bills.
You and Jim Monos and Doug Whaley, to a certain extent, although he's been with the team for a while, this is your first year working together as a team, the top three personnel jobs. How has that worked out for the three?
It's been awesome. I think we see eye to eye on a lot of things, and sometimes we don't even have to say a word, but we know. So it's for the first year being together, it's been really good.
I talked to Doug Whaley at the Senior Bowl a month or so ago, and I detected kind of a quiet confidence about the personnel on this roster already. He kind of indicated that he felt like the core group might be in place already for this Bills team.
I believe that, too.
So what does that do to your draft? Again, that means you don't have to draft for need? You just go for the best player you can?
I don't think you ever draft for need. I think you always draft the best player. You can never have too many good players.
And if you do, that's not a bad problem to have.
Not a bad problem at all.
Hey, Calvin, thanks for doing this with us. We appreciate it. Calvin Fisher, the Bills Director of College Scouting. It's the John Murphy Show from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And our thanks to Calvin Fisher, the Bills Director of College Scouting, for joining us earlier today. We had a chance to talk with him, and you can tell the excitement in his voice as he gets set to go through this combine. We'll have a chance to talk with him a little bit later in the week. His boss, Jim Monos, who we had on the show last night? I'm confused. Yeah, last night. You have a chance to talk with him. Now, Jim Monos is the Buffalo Bills Director of Player Personnel in his first year in the job. Tomorrow, 10:30 a.m. at buffalobills.com. You have a chance to go through an internet chat with Jim Monos. Chris Brown will moderate. 10:30 a.m. Go to buffalobills.com tomorrow morning for a live chat with Jim Monos, the Bills Director of Player Personnel. If you have questions about the draft, go straight to the source. You don't need me to filter it through. Jim Monos tomorrow, available to you on the internet on buffalobills.com. 10:30 a.m. He'll be live here at the Combine answering your questions. Also, at buffalobills.com right now, you can check out our coverage, the video coverage of today's goings-on here, the first real day of the NFL Combine, Chris Brown and I with a video report on that. You can also watch Doug Marrone's press conference, the entire press conference. You can also watch Chris Brown's one-on-one with Doug Marrone. All of that up right now at buffalobills.com, and our Combine coverage continues on the website and, of course, here tomorrow night. One thing that happened today here at the Combine, and it was pretty eagerly anticipated, Miami Dolphins coach Joe Philbin met the media today. First thing in the morning, 9:45, first guy up at the podium. Philbin guaranteed the team will have a better workplace environment next year. He was a little bit fiery. He says they're going to look at every avenue, going to uncover every stone and have a better workplace. He said, I promise you that. Philbin reiterated he was unaware of the bullying of Jonathan Martin by fellow offensive lineman Richie Incognito, John Jerry, and Mike Pouncey while it was going on. That's what was supported, actually, in the Ted Wells report. They said he was unaware. But Joe Philbin at the podium today was asked, is it your job to know about bullying in the Dolphins locker room?
Look, I'm the head football coach, so the team, the performance of the team, the record, the 8-8 record, that falls on my shoulders. And so I'm going to be more vigilant. I'm going to be more diligent. I'm going to be more visible and I'm going to have a better pulse.
And you might expect there were a lot of questions for Joe Philbin, a lot of doubts about what went on there in Miami and the Richie Incognito, Jonathan Martin situation. And one reporter asked Philbin if Richie Incognito was a leader in that locker room, and how did he become a leader on the Dolphins roster?
I didn't necessarily name him a leader. There's a leadership council that we have in place. The process is that the players elect the people that they, the players that they want to be on the leadership council, out of respect to the process. That's how the votes came in, and he was on the leadership council.
And Joe Philbin, Dolphins coach, was asked kind of ultimately today, looking back, would he have handled the situation differently between Incognito and Jonathan Martin?
Well, again, I don't have the benefit to look back. Certainly there were, I would have hoped that I would have noticed some of these things. I can tell you that I never turned my back on, if I had heard this type of language or these types of acts being done, I would have intervened immediately. There's a common decency that people need to have toward one another. And when that gets violated, that's an issue. So I certainly wish I had seen some of it. And I could have intervened quicker, and perhaps it would not have grown to this proportion that it's grown to. So, but it's easy to look back. That's how it's happened. That's how it unfolded. And so now I got to focus on the future and how we're going to correct the problems.
Joe Philbin, Dolphins coach, talking about the Richie Incognito, Jonathan Martin situation. I don't think it was a particularly strong performance by Joe Philbin, if you can grade it on that. He accepted responsibility, but he really didn't. I think, and I'm not saying he gets a pass or got a pass on this as far as the Dolphins are concerned, but boy, there's no question that his leadership and his control of that locker room is going to be under intense scrutiny from here on out. I guess, you know, when you look at what happened just yesterday, and it was right around the time we went off the air yesterday, the Dolphins pulled the trigger on offensive line coach Jim Turner and head trainer Kevin O'Neill, both of whom were found to be complicit in the team's locker room culture. And Philbin gets a pass on that, the head guy. I just don't, you know, it's worth watching moving forward. And I don't know how you'd measure it. They cannot obviously afford to have another situation like they have, but it's definitely worth watching to see how that plays out. I think in many respects, Joe Philbin dodged a bullet in the Dolphins locker room situation. Just a kind of a sidelight to what went on today. Well, our coverage of the Combine all week long has been presented by Napa Auto Parts. You can visit your local Napa Auto Parts store for Napa know-how and all your car care needs. We're going to be back here tomorrow night at 7 o'clock with another night of coverage from the Combine. Doug Whaley, the general manager, will join us tomorrow. I want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned, locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Our engineer back in Buffalo, Tom Reitz. Our engineer here in Indianapolis, Mike Raby. Production assistants from Anna Stolzenberg. And our producer, the Bills Director of Broadcasting, Jeff Matthews. Long list of credits. Back on the air tomorrow night, 7 o'clock from Indy, the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from the Combine on Buffalo Bills Radio.